A reading of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until it's accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, this text is placed in the middle of what's called the Sermon of the Mount, which starts with the famous part which we read later in the year, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed who are hunger and thirsty, the so-called Beatitudes. And further in the text, in the same chapter 5, you have a certain number of, I shall say, not commands, but advice that we need to follow a radical type of life. And it's not enough not to murder your neighbor, you must not be angry. It's not enough to bring gifts to the church, to the altar, but to be reconciled with our brothers and sisters. It's not enough not to commit adultery, but you must not look at, for men I mean, don't look at a woman with lust, and so on. Now the text we have here is a bit strange at first view, because Jesus says here that we must respect every letter of the law and the prophets, which is the spiritual tradition of the people of Israel, of the Jewish people. He appears almost like a fundamentalist. He recommends, apparently, a literal understanding of the Jewish tradition. Of course, he says, I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. But first of all, we have a clear sign that Jesus did not throw away the Jewish tradition. On the contrary, he kept faithful to it, and we know that he used to go to the temple regularly. So the first message of this text, and it's an important message, even if it's not the only one, is that Christians and Jews are not enemies. They almost depend on each other. And certainly, rejecting Judaism, so to say, as it has been unfortunately a discourse for centuries in the curse because they kill God, does not make any meaning at all, as in contrary to the will of Jesus himself. Jesus was a Jew. We must say it and repeat it. And this is particularly important today when anti-Semitism comes back. It has been a terrible tragedy at the time of Hitler and Nazi Germany that anti-Semitism has reached its peak in history, leading to the murder of 6 million people. The biggest shame ever in history, one could argue. But now, unfortunately, this type of spirit is back in a number of countries, including in my own country, South Africa, in many places in Europe where cemeteries of Jews are vandalized, and in many other parts of the world. Not that the Jewish people are blameless, but we should have said never more to the Holocaust. So that's the first message of the text today. It's a reminder that Jesus was a Jew. So it is absolutely against scripture to reject Judaism. But I think there's more in the text than that. What I think the text tells us, and we only understand it if we look at what's come before and after, is what is it that allows us to fulfill the law and the prophets? Because Jesus said, I've come not to abolish but to fulfill. What is it, that thing in addition to the law of the prophets, which allows to fulfill it, to make it complete? And the last verse I read to you before, which says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you never enter the kingdom of heaven. How can you exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? It doesn't say you should not do what they do. Yes, you must do it, but you must do something on top of it, in addition to it. You must do more. Now, that's what the interesting part of this gospel. What is it that think more that the Christians must do? Now, the answer to that question, what should we do to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? It's amazing. It's the most radical message that one could arguably find in the New Testament. Is that we need basically to be like almost saints by not being angry at a brother and sister. I wonder among those who listen to this homily who has ever been angry. Certainly I have been angry, and probably last week, last month, last year, many times. Secondly, he asks us, when we go to leave a gift before the altar, in other words, when you go to church, to be reconciled with our brothers and sisters. Again, ask, who among us is doing that all the time? Who abstains from going to church because he must reconcile first? We live in conflict, individual conflicts, communal conflicts, national conflicts. How can we reconcile with every brother and sister? I ask you. The next one, which obviously is addressed to men, but we could do a gender reading and think what it means for women. So I say, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed an adultery. Again, how can we avoid looking at women or men with some sexual desire? So what Jesus says is that that's adultery. And so on. The next one, don't swear at all, either by heaven or by the earth. So we should never swear. And lastly, and it's the most radical of all, and we all know that it's an incredible challenge to do it, and I wonder who actually do it, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. All those things is what Jesus means by exceeding the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. So how do we reconcile all of this? How do you put all those things together? It just says, actually, the point is not to overturn, to destroy, to revolutionize any religion or any system for that matter, any ideology. So Christians are not there to destroy or topple over systems. They have to give them an additional spiritual quality, an additional moral quality, which actually is in fact almost impossible to reach. It's almost like this, he put the ideal so high, turn the other cheek as well, that he says that let's be understanding, let's be tolerant of Jews, and I could say of any other system, any other religion, any ideology. We shouldn't be arrogant, because the goal that Jesus set for us, it's actually so high that we shall never claim to reach it. It means that we shall, in a certain way, we shall never be fully Christian. We must aim at being fully Christian. We've got a goal, but it's still a long way before reaching it. So I think when you could read this text as a lesson in modesty, and let's not be critical of Jews or whoever, whatever religion, whatever political or ideological system, let's be very modest, but let's know that there's always something higher, further, that we could reach to. Amen.